Hey everybody, welcome back to the first day of the second week of our adventure through the chronological Bible. And today we read Genesis chapter 20 and 21 here on January 8th. And at the beginning of this week, I just want to give credit once again to the guy who did all the hard work to originally create this material. His name is John Soper, and he's the original author. I revised it, updated it, and actually spoke it into the camera or the audio equipment. But I want to make sure that John Soper gets the proper credit that's due as the original author of this material. Well, maybe it'd be time for a quick review of Genesis. The book of Genesis has its two divisions. The first part is Genesis 1 through 11, and it has in it four major events: creation, fall, the flood, and Babel. The key people in there were Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, and Noah. And its scope was universal. The emphasis was on a general revelation that affects the entirety of the world, and its purpose was to give us a broad overview of the events from the creation of the world to the time of Abraham. Genesis 12 through 50, the second section, is different. The focus here is on four people: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And nearly one-third of this section is given over to telling us about the life of Abraham. Now, the key to Abraham's life is the covenant, the promises that God made for him to be a blessing to the entirety of the world, to have a land, and to become a great people. And the key to the understanding of that covenant is the promise of an heir, through whom he will become the father of many as there are stars in the sky or grains on a beach. And through whom, through this heir, all nations will be blessed. Now, if there's a phrase that captures the essence of Abraham's life, it may well be blessed to be a blessing. All right, so that's our review. You remember all that well, don't you? Well, let me ask you this question. Do you ever go golfing? I do from time to time. And every so often, someone in my foursome will crack a ball off the tee and it'll go sailing off to the right or sailing off to the left. Sometimes it goes out of bounds. Well, when another guy in the foursome hits a terrible shot, often another guy will say to him, "You can have a do-over." The technical term for this is a mulligan. You know, you can have a mulligan on that one. Now, I don't know where this name came from, but this guy Mulligan must have been a pretty crummy golfer. Well, in life, sometimes all of us need a mulligan. And in Genesis, Abraham gets a mulligan. You remember in chapter 12, Abraham and Sarah, they go down into Egypt and he says, "She's my sister," in order to keep from getting in trouble with Pharaoh. Well, it turns out in chapter 20, Abraham wasn't completely lying. In accordance with an acceptable practice in these Old Testament times, Abram had married his half-sister. So he thought, well, in a jam, I can just say, "She's my sister." Well, that wasn't an acceptable solution. Like, I told the truth, I just didn't tell all of the truth, was not an explanation that God was buying in this situation. And it certainly did not do Sarah any good. Imagine what a wonderful woman this must have been. The issue back in chapter 12 was one of trust. Abraham was in a tough situation, and he was afraid of what might happen and unable or unwilling to trust God. So he lied, and he created a much more treacherous and dangerous problem for himself and for his wife. And that's what usually happens when we try to figure out a way to extricate ourselves from situations without trusting God. Well, since he failed that test for the first time when he took it, God gave him a mulligan. And he said, "You can try again." And you know what Abraham did? He failed again. Now, by the way, you think Sarah must have been some beautiful woman. Because as near as I can figure it, she was about 65 years old when Abraham went down to Egypt and lied to the Pharaoh. And by the time he's here with Abimelech, she's probably about 90 years old. Either Sarah was an exceptional beauty, or Abraham was a hopeless neurotic. Forgive my digression. You can see the point that I'm making. There are certain lessons that God wants you and me to learn in our lives. They're important lessons, and in some case, everything God wants to do in our lives and the lives of our families and in our ministry depends on us learning this lesson. He'll put us into just the right circumstances to test whether or not we've learned them, and if we fail the test, guess what? He'll give us a mulligan. Only in this case, the mulligan went sailing out of bounds, just like the first one did. Now, I'm pretty sure that you've failed a few tests in your day. I even believe that some of them were probably on the same subject with which Abraham had a difficult time, trusting God. But have you ever failed the same exact test twice? Come on, now be honest. I mean, if you're like me, the answer is yes. And here's the good news. God is so patient. He keeps on working with you and working on you. He's not going to give up, even though you've blown it more than twice. Abraham failed the same test twice, but eventually he did learn the lesson. We know this because chapter 22 contains yet another retest, only this time the stakes are a whole lot higher, and this time Abraham passes with flying colors. And after Mount Moriah, I know that Abraham blessed God for those two awful and humiliating encounters with Pharaoh and Abimelech, because it was out of those failures that he learned to trust God, and that trust was critical in the sacrifice of Isaac on Mount Moriah. Can we pause here for a moment to reflect on the value of reading the Bible the way that we're doing it right now? I mean, I'm pretty sure that without the discipline of consecutive chronological reading like we're doing right now, I never would have seen the connection between Abraham's two recorded failures and the greatest victory of faith he ever had on the day that he said to Isaac, "We can obey because we can trust God." He knows what he's doing. He can prepare a lamb for himself, or, and Abraham only thought of this, but I know that he did think of it because Hebrews 11 tells us that he did, he can raise Isaac from the dead. Abraham had learned through his failures to trust God completely. You may wish to take a few minutes today and do a little thinking and praying about the lessons God's trying to teach you in your life. If you don't learn them, you'll keep getting shoved into those uncomfortable retests. But more importantly, if you don't learn them, you'll never get to experience that victory of faith that God wants to lead you into. This is Mark Ashton reminding you that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Peace be with you.